Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We found him! Larry Wisdom on the show at 10:40.
An hour and 35 minutes? I have to wait and talk to you for an hour and 35 minutes.
Larry Wisdom pregame on the score.
What's Larry Wisdom going to say? Over under on mentions of the term real estate.
Yeah.
Overall.
The entrance. What was the question yesterday? Real estate exam
or
Wunderlich?
Yeah, that was Jason Goff's closer on the interview
yeah,
the afternoon show.
That was
show.
Great.
It was funny.
That was very well done. Oh, man.
Hi.
Good job, Jay Zawoski. Good job tracking down Larry Wisdom.
Yeah,
congratulations to you, sir.
That's why I made the big bucks.
That really is like the desperate angle hunting that went on for the last 3 days culminates today with Larry Wisdom. Is that when we officially move on? Is there like a... Is there a ceremony of some kind at the end of the Larry Wisdom interview? Like, yep, we've done it. We've acquired all the knowledge there is to acquire.
10:55 is the end. Sorry, Shep. Book some other people.
Have some celebratory music ready, Campy, for when it's over, our long yes. national nightmare.
We need trumpets and crumpets and strumpets, and we need all of it to celebrate the end of Desperate Angle Hunting.
Oh, man. So we get off the air yesterday, and Matt Nagy gets introduced to Bears fans and the Bears media everywhere. Every station is covering it and streaming it, and the guys are doing a great job in the afternoon, and then they get him on for a conversation, and it's on TV, and he nailed it.
He nailed it. I started to feel bad for him about 4 hours in. I was like, oh, man, just stop. Or maybe that was the time to give him grobber. You know, give him that grobber one-on-one just to really fully test him. But, yeah, no, I thought the man was very, very solid, very impressive. There was a bunch of things I did enjoy specifically about him, but really just not screwing up is a victory in and of itself, isn't it?
I think so. Like, you know me, man. I think that judging the press conference and winning the press conference is a totally silly notion, especially in football. Because the code of football is secrecy. So I think it's silly. I think that we could do our job just as well today having not heard that press conference, honestly. But that's not the expectation here, and everybody heard it, so we'll discuss it. But, man, that's an offensive coordinator for 1 year in Kansas City who met once, right? He met with the media once a week. There is one beat writer for one newspaper. In Kansas City.
Is that why we always talk to Therese Paylor?
Yeah.
There's one guy?
Yeah, Adam Teicher used to cover him for the Star. Now he's like in that ESPN blog nation where every team is covered over there. But he met with the media once a week where there's one beat writer in a mid-sized market, a small market by NFL standards, and he comes to Chicago and he does a 30-something minute press conference. And then he is still doing live media interviews locally and nationally 2+ hours after it's done. So
it's part of the gig.
Of course it's part of the gig. I'm just saying it's not something that he's done before.
Sure.
It's not hiring John Fox.
It's among the challenges for the man, right? It's not hiring somebody who's done it a million times.
Right. And so it's just not only is he inexperienced at running a defense and being a head coach, he's inexperienced with that level of public speaking and scrutiny and questions and cross-examination in some cases. So if you feel like he did a good job, I don't find the nitpicking of it entirely worthwhile in terms of looking for negatives. I think that there are plenty of interesting things to discuss out of it about what he said in terms of Trubisky and accountability and anything you want from it in terms of like if you feel like you got to know the man or anything like that. But he did well. And I don't really see any criticisms of him that would be valid coming out of it. I truly don't. Like, if you have some, I'd be genuinely interested. Like, Campy, Jay, callers, you, Speaks, the texters. Like, I would be genuinely interested
I don't have
in
any.
Negatives or criticisms out of that yesterday because I think he nailed it.
I
All right, good.
I don't think I have any. I mean, there wasn't like a legendary misspeak like Mark Trestman giving you, we're going to be selfish and undisciplined, which is an all-timer.
Right.
There's not like a really evasive kind of condescending moment. There was, I don't know if there were, if there were condescending moments to people, maybe that can be part of their negatives or your people can give that. I don't have a lot of negatives.
And you know me, I don't normally enjoy soliciting negativity. Like I'm in this for the jokes and the fun and all of that. But mm-hmm. That was a huge step up and introduction in a different world that he had entered yesterday. And did he stumble over some stuff? Did he give the perfectly crafted politician answer on everything? Was he maybe a little bit more truthful in that moment than he'll be after a week three loss to Detroit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, across the board. I'm not saying he was perfect, but he was good. He was good enough, and I thought he handled himself very well yesterday.
Well, there's a couple things that I think need to be sort of delineated as we do this, and part of them are for me.
Okay.
I will go ahead and own as I did at the time, but as I, you know, look, I enjoyed Mark Trestman's introductory press conference.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Sure.
And you know what it was? It was the anti-Lovie Smith. It was information. It was a little bit intellectual. It was mostly positive. It was seemingly accessible. Okay. And then for the most part, I enjoyed getting to hear John Fox a little bit because I had grown weary of Trestman. Like, Trestman was the anti-Lovey, and then Fox was the anti-Trestman.
Sure.
Now, is there a component here where Matt Nagy is the anti-John Fox?
Yes.
Of course.
A huge part of it.
Of course.
I think a huge part of it. Absolutely.
But I was careful as I'm thinking about this and trying to dissect it and thinking about it yesterday to make sure that you don't just live in that kind of headspace, that comparative headspace,
because
that can blind you to some things.
Sure.
It really
makes
sense. So that's one thing. The other thing, Danny, is I think people get confused because they know the press conference doesn't matter. Right?
Right. Okay.
As you yourself are willing to admit.
Yeah, I think it is an exercise in ridiculousness.
And because they know overall that it doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they crap on the press conference. They crap on things and find negatives because they don't really have the desire to separate those things intellectually. Like, okay, yeah, this was good. All right, yeah, no, nothing bad. All right, good. And then let's see if he can coach, right?
Yeah.
Let's see how it works out, which is the understood in everything that you say is that, who knows if it's going to work?
Yeah, let it play out.
Let's watch and let it play out.
Yeah.
Like, that exists there as a separate component of, like, how did that go? Did he do okay? A lot of people don't want to do those two things side by side, so they just mix all in. You know, you don't know how it's going to play. They mix all that in and end up being critical about things that don't even deserve to be critical about.
Right, and that goes back to, like, the idea to me of, did he answer every question how I would have answered it? No. But that doesn't matter. Like, that is completely irrelevant. Did he shoot himself in the foot? Did he make his job more difficult? Did he give you reasons to be the punchline? Did he give you reasons to believe that he's in over his head and he's not going to be able to handle the job, or that he's not going to be respected in the locker room? As long as he didn't do anything that was, like, cataclysmically awful, then it doesn't matter. And all that does matter is whether or not he wins and he performs. And that, to me, when you're talking about separating it, that doesn't mean that you can't say, man, I liked that he took accountability for the second half of the Chiefs playoff loss when John Fox would have said, I still have to look at the tape.
When I think a lot of coaches might say, well, you know, that was a complicated situation and everything's collaborative, and like, tried to fend off a little, but he just grabbed the blame and wore it head on.
Right. He's the voice and face of an organization who will be empowered to speak for the organization, because we know that Ryan Pace doesn't speak a lot. He likes to empower his coach that way and operate behind the scenes. So I'd rather him be good at it than not, but if he's not good at it and he's good at coaching football, being bad at it doesn't matter. But yesterday he checked the box for me, as I talked about ever since the hiring from people in Kansas City. What did they say? One of the first things someone texted me, he's going to win the press conference. He's good at it. Like, it's just, it's something he's good at. He's a sharp guy. He's a straightforward guy. He gives the appearance of honesty.
Yeah.
He's confident. He's open. Like, you know, that those things are endearing.
He does give the appearance of honesty. He's got a thing where he didn't blow smoke. There were a lot of opportunities he had to blow smoke yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't do it. One of them was, you know, the thing about the blame was one thing, but in the interview with our guys talking about the playoffs and talking about the Super Bowl and the way he answered those questions, hell, talking about Mitch and, you know, some thought that was a stumble. I didn't, but we'll talk about exactly, like, you know, how that came off. But there was a lot of times where the opportunity to go with some bluster or say, damn right, we're here to do some thing. And maybe people want that. You know,
like, some people do, some people don't. Like, but the point is, it's his decision of whether he wants to do it.
Right.
Like, I see this guy in the texter says, I wanted to hear about goals, mention the Super Bowl and more about his specific football philosophies. He spoke in a lot of generalities about the team. And I know Bernstein's big thing is, like, state your goal. Right. Say your goal is going to win the Super Bowl. And to Dan's credit, he asked him about it when he was on. And he was like, well, that's understood. Right, we're building something right here in the direction of winning a Super Bowl.
I got no problem with him saying, yeah, no, we didn't talk about the Super Bowl. We talked about how you build and what you do and how you get there.
And if the question was, is your goal to win the Super Bowl, his answer would be, of course yes. I think it's a totally valid thing to say, and some people would say it, but Mark Trestman said it. So it doesn't mean that because you say it, like, oh, visualize it and it will come. Some people believe that. Some people don't. He does not feel like he needs to do that. He's the building guy. I started in real estate with Larry Wisdom, and then I became an intern, and then I became this.
Hour and 24 minutes,
yeah.
Until Larry Wisdom comes on the show. If you want to set a timer.
We're setting it up to be the biggest letdown in the history of radio.
Oh, it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Other than just our show in general.
Right. And then people, and then the idea of specific football philosophy. He was coaching a team the day before his interview.
Mm.
Right? He, I'm sure, had a little bit more insight and information into specific players and all that. But how does it benefit him at all to say, yeah, I'd really like Jordan Howard to be better at pass catching? Or, yeah, I really think we're a couple receivers away from being good. Or, yeah, I think Mitch Trubisky's got a low ceiling. Or, you know, I think that we're going to definitely play the 3-4. How does it benefit him at all on day one of the job?
That gives you something to look back on and get him in trouble with.
Exactly right. He's going to spend the next 6 weeks doing a ton of self-evaluation of his staff, his roster. He's going to watch the film of every Bears game this year 10 times over. Like, there's some honesty in not revealing things too early before he's made definitive decisions.
Especially when you don't know them.
Right.
You don't know them.
Right.
All right? You know, you think he's dissected the fact that, oh, why did you guys think Josh Bellamy had value? Because he can run routes and he blocks a little bit. I see all these drops. Like, he hasn't gotten to those levels on individual guys yet.
Right. Do you think that Matt Nagy, before he interviewed with Ryan Pace, possibly had time to watch the film on all 16 Bears games this year? No chance. 0%. There's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an impossibility based on when he got the interview and when he conducted the interview. And then between winning the interview and getting hired and the press conference,
yeah,
it would also be an impossibility just on the sheer number of hours in the day.
See, I think the Super Bowl or bust thought and wanting that mindset is understood from every freaking coach in this league. Like, they're all going for the Super Bowl, but you don't know what's going to happen. You can't get lost in the goal. You're just doing process. And that's what he's doing. I appreciated the lowering of expectations on Trubisky. I genuinely did, because look, I mean, he's not sure. He's not sure. And can they win if Trubisky is not a franchise, unbelievably dominant Brett Favre quarterback? Can they win? Yeah, but they'll have to be a lot better at a lot of other things. And this guy will have to be a lot better at a lot of other things. But that might be the way he has to do it. You don't know. So he didn't blow smoke about Trubisky. I think we all expected that. Right?
Yeah.
Based on what he had supposedly thought and what Ryan Pace thought and what we thought that echo chamber sounded like in the room.
I just don't know, honestly, how you could have graded that thing, like good or bad, like if you were going to do the binary evaluation of that press conference yesterday, which, again, I think is a silly enterprise, but it's what everybody's doing. So let's talk about the discussion that's happening in this city right now.
Yeah.
If you were going to do a binary evaluation of that thing, good or bad, and you vote bad, I just don't know what you would want. Like, give me an example of good. Like, give me an example of one that you thought was much better than that yesterday.
Well, if you ask Pro Football Talk, they'll say John Gruden.
We'll talk to Florio about that at 10.
Yeah, Florio's on at 10. I don't know if it was him running the Twitter account or one of his other guys or whatever, but he was like all about, at the time, it was like, boy, Bears shouldn't have scheduled this just before John Gruden. And then if you watch John Gruden, the bluster and just complete and utter BS bravado in the John Gruden press conference was everything you'd expect.
Wasn't a press conference. That was a pep rally.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is what his boss wants. Which is what the guy who just gave him $100 million guaranteed wants. Yeah. So he should do that. But again, it will be mocked if he loses. It will be celebrated if he wins. This is not complicated.
I heard Gruden on ESPN doing a one-on-one afterwards. I was surprised he granted a one-on-one to ESPN. I really was. But
I didn't even see it coming.
Yeah, right. Gruden was asked, what are the expectations here? And he said, I think we can be the best franchise in all of sports. That's it. That's the only goal. And maybe people love that. They're like, damn right. That should be the goal.
So let's talk about what we learned, what we took away from it. And I normally never enjoy soliciting criticisms just for the sake of doing it. But I am fascinated by what more you could have possibly wanted out of yesterday when you keep in mind it's a press conference.
Also, there was a buddy film in the making yesterday in part of what was said. We got to flesh that out and see how that is going to be a bit of a go. Some information on dinner and a bunch of other stuff. Guest-wise, what? Florio at 10, Larry Wisdom at 11, 10:40. We'll play Can't Do It at 11:40, and Dan Pompey joins us at noon.
The opening segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. Our biggest takeaways of what we actually learned that is tangible. Next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Bernstein and Goff with Matt Nagy yesterday. Some people wanted him to say all that stuff about a Super Bowl. Some people will take the common sense thing at its face value. I tend to side in the latter category than the former, but reasonable minds can disagree on something like
that. You like process over results? That's all baseball people will tell you. It's all poker people will tell you, guys who are trying to think analytically about what you're doing and making the right decisions.
Right.
So that's one way of looking at that conversation. The other is that you have a lot to do before you even get there in that conversation. Take it all back to Andy Reid. Like, all of these things are going to go back to Andy Reid's never won a Super Bowl. Good coach?
Yes.
Good coach, good career.
How about this?
He put himself there over and over and over again. Continues to put his teams in a place where they have a chance to get on a hot streak, do the right things, and get there over and over and over again. It has not been done. Is he a failure? No.
He's a better coach than guys who have won the Super Bowl. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who's a better coach, Mike McCarthy or Andy Reid?
Sure.
It's not close.
Uh-huh.
Who's a better coach, John Harbaugh or Andy Reid? John Harbaugh would tell you that it's Andy Reid.
Who's a better coach?
He learned from him.
Who's a better coach, Marv Levy or George Seifert?
Right.
Right?
Yeah, same type of – he's been to 5 NFC title games in Philly, 3 of 5 years in the playoffs in Kansas City. He's clearly good enough to win it. He just – hasn't.
And tell me about the Super Bowl is a talking point, and is, you know, of course they're in it to win the freaking Super Bowl. One other thing about that, Danny, if you have a good relationship, and let's say you've, you know, really tried to work on a relationship, a lot of times people will tell you in that business of the working on relationship business, which I've paid some people, but
yeah,
they'll tell you to have agreements, not expectations. Agreements, not expectations. Define exactly what you're going to do. Agree on what you're going to do. As like, and in that meeting, it's him and Pace, right?
Yeah.
And the other Jamokes, as they're just kind of hanging around. But make agreements. Expectations? Well, look, as long as you have the agreements, then, and you meet those, then you know you're doing right by each other. And then if at some point, if the expectations don't get met, which obviously, you know, if you've got expectations of getting all the way there and you don't get met, then after 5, 6, 7 years of being real good, but not meeting the expectations. Yeah. And guys get fired all the time. But initially, as you're starting out, it's about agreements, not expectations.
312-644-6767. Text line 670-11. Let's go to Kevin. You're on the score. What's up, Kevin?
Gentlemen, you just played the key phrase of the whole day for me yesterday was that comment back to Dan Bernstein. Honestly, Pete, the phrase common sense, that was the whole hook, the whole day. And from that comment alone, I gave the guy an A. And I'm an old speech coach and judge and college level and everything else. So, yes, very good.
All right, there we go. Appreciate the call, Kevin. Texter writes in, he won the presser but showed his inexperience during the Bernstein and Goff interview. I actually agree with that. He is inexperienced. Like, Campy, do you have the question that Jason asked to end the presser? Can you pull that up whenever you get a chance? I know we've got 1,000 audio things.
You're talking about the Trubisky one?
The Trubisky question. I think that it was a really well-crafted question by Jason. And I think that he had been talking for 2.5 hours at that point. And I think that he could have absolutely handled this question a little bit better. But I don't think it matters that he didn't handle it perfectly. Let's play it.
Last thing from me, Mitchell Trubisky, is he a quarterback that you envision the Bears winning because of or winning with?
Well, right now, that's a hell of a question. I would say right now that you're winning with because of, I'd say, right? I mean, no, I can't say. I would say with, you know. That's kind of stumped me right there. I think that he's a quarterback that's still developing, you know, and that's why I'm so excited to be able to help him with that and bring in a staff that can help him. So to say that you're going to win with Mr. Trubisky, I don't think he's there yet, but he can be there, and that's why we're doing what we do. I mean, it's a pleasure to have him on this team. He's exciting, and you know, that's he's somebody that puts you in a good position at that quarterback spot.
So he misspeaks there pretty clearly, right? At the end, because he said
by the end, it sounds like when he says "with," he's really meaning because of.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's a really good question, and it is a fundamental question of NFL quarterbacking, right? Like, you can win with Alex Smith, but you generally do not win because of Alex Smith. You've got to create a perfect team around him.
And you know he's been around those conversations about exactly that guy, his guy,
exactly.
Alex Smith.
So the perfect answer to that question is, that's a great question. There's a really short list of people in the NFL that I think you win because of, because it's the ultimate team game. And Mitch Trubisky would be unrealistic to say at this point, only 12 games into his career, that he's at that point. However, the goal is at that position to get him to that level, and that is one of the main parts of my job. So as of now, the hope is to win with Mitch Trubisky, but eventually we will win because of Mitch Trubisky.
Well, I think that's basically what he said with the flip, because if he made the mistake and said with, and he actually meant because of there at the end, then that is what he eventually came to after saying that's a good question. All right, how do I define that? Because, you know, and then he gets there. Yeah, eventually you want to win because of the guy. I think that's what he was trying to say.
I think so too. But I mean, to the texter's point of coming across as somewhat inexperienced in something like that, a direct, creative, live question. Mm-hmm. This isn't an excuse. It's just a fact. He didn't do it. He was never on a radio show in Kansas City. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It was once a week, non-live press conference setting. It's just, it's different.
I think also the question, and why it's good, is it hits at the very core of what you think about the quarterback. And none of us are ready to define that. You know, to think that he is ready to define what Trubisky is after, you know, even seeing whatever minimal part he has of this year, he's not ready to define it. And he doesn't want to define it to put the expectations on Mitch. He wants to put the agreements on Mitch to do the work that he needs to do, to build him up the way that he needs to build him up.
Yeah, so I think he did great yesterday. I really do. I think that looking for negatives and criticisms off of it is the definition of nitpicking. And I would genuinely love examples of people who have done it better. And I'm not saying that they haven't existed. Mm. I'm saying that maybe they've done it better, but it doesn't mean that they'll be a better coach. He did. Like, I look at press conferences kind of as pass-fail. Right? Like, do you ever take a pass-fail class in school?
Yeah.
Like, I look at them as binary. Like, he passed. Okay, cool. Move on. Now we'll see if he can coach. But the problem is, we don't get a referendum on whether or not he can coach until the end of this season.
Yeah.
And that's why so much of the hyper-analyzing comes out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he tried to be honest and tried to be real all day. He really did. And that was like, That was, of course, it was welcome because of the anti-John Foxness, but you don't want to get lost in that. But I just like that he didn't blow smoke about certain things.
He was good.
You know?
He was really good.
There is, here's one. His change culture comments were retarded, says a text. You should probably stop using that word, sir.
Yeah, so should you.
Well, I have. I'm just I'm indicating the intelligence level or the consideration level of the texture there.
Yeah.
Even though the Bears' record was poor, players were of good character. Not culture, but talent is needed. Talk to anybody who's been a player, anybody who's been around a team. You need a good collective culture. And if they have one, if they have a decent one, then he'll find that out. He will find that out. He doesn't know. He wasn't around this team every day.
Yeah.
He wants to build trust with everybody, positivity, honesty with everybody, which is very sensible stuff.
Let's talk about the moment that was described as the most honest and probably got him the most credit, taking the blame for what happened in the second half of the Chiefs game yesterday. And I'll tell you where that comes in terms of his roots, because I'm pretty sure I got the answer for that one before Mike Florio at 10 on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Walgreens. Switch your Medicare Part D prescriptions to Walgreens and start saving today with copays as low as $0 on select plans with Tier 1 generics. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Jay Zawoski, I think that you have a career as a pitch man of sorts, if you want it.
I think you've been great, Jay. My ears perk up every time I hear your voice, and I don't know what to expect.
He stands out.
And then I find out that he's offering the potential to win tickets to the big Night Before concert with Dave Matthews. And I just, you're doing a hell of a
Does
job.
Does it feel as natural as it sounds?
It feels as sincere as you guys are coming off right now. That's about how it feels. So, yeah. It's a tough read. It was not, I don't know who wrote it.
Yes, I do.
But it doesn't read very smoothly, so it's kind of a battle to get through.
Are you allowed?
Blame.
Are you allowed to ad lib? Way not to own that one.
I would not dare.
It was neat.
I mean, I'm surprised that you won't just own that one, like the second half of a Chiefs loss or something. I mean, really.
If it was mine, I would own it. You know that. When I make a mistake, I own it. But this is
you can't ad lib to make it a little more human, a little more conversational.
This is a legal document.
Oh, that's right.
This is a contest.
That's the thing, man.
It's a legal document.
I dare not add any sort of words or flair. The flair I add is giving you the keyword with style.
Yes, you do.
All right?
You punch it up.
That's the best I can do for you, gang.
That's why we're genuinely impressed and enthused at your... And your pitchman.
Stay tuned for another keyword in the 12:36 break.
I cannot wait.
Can I say what one of the keywords was yesterday? Because I loved it so much.
It's not going to work now. So go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
Dave. I loved one of the keywords was Dave.
As a longtime Dave Matthews fan, nothing triggers me more than when people refer to a band of 6 to 8 people as Dave.
Fired up.
Go to see Dave.
Yes. Dave. And the other... 7 to 9. They can vary from 10 or less, but it's always at least 6. It's not just one dude.
It's amazing to me that, you know, the big game has such a stranglehold on the marketing of itself.
Yes.
That you can't say anything but the big game, to the point that now everybody knows what you mean when you say the big game at this time of year.
Right, and it's my understanding that you and I can talk about how the big game is the Super Bowl, but you can't do it attached to the advertiser. I know. Sorry. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we can say it.
Yeah, we can say that the big game is the Super Bowl.
And now they've got the Night Before, and they're trying to craft that as its own thing.
I just think of before the big game.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
Uh-huh.
Super Bowl Eve.
Oh, shut up, dude.
Sorry.
It's like if Michael Buffer's going to sue us for no reason right now. Just because he's like, oh, is that my job to sue now? Oh, no.
Well, could Seth Rogen sue for...
The Night Before?
He wrote the movie The Night Before.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, movie titles are just usually plucked from phrases that have some vague sense of familiarity anyway.
We'll just pay him off with weed. He'll be fine.
Yeah. That's true. All right, let's give Jay Zawoski what real accountability sounds like in the form of Matt Nagy's press conference yesterday.
Can you confirm whether or not you were calling plays the entire time and just the thinking of the play calling?
Yeah, I called every single play in the second half. And you know, again, that there was a that's a learning situation for me. You know, I've gone back, I've looked at it. There's scenarios where I wish I would have made some different choices with the play call, but you know, for me, that was a failure in my book for me. But I'll grow from it and I'll learn from it. I promise you that. So I'll use that as a strength here for me with the Chicago Bears. And you know, I felt terrible for our team, for our organization. We put in a lot of good work. And again, going back to the question of losing somebody, you lose a player like Kelsey, you got to adapt. And you know, I know that our offense and our offensive staff supports me. Coach Reed supports me. But I called every play in that second half. I stand by it. And I promise you, I'm going to learn from it.
Loved it. Loved it.
Everyone did.
Grab a hold of it. Own it. Take it. Step up. Because guess what? Through all the parsing of whether he did it or whether Andy did it or whatever, or like who do you blame or whatever, it still stands as 30 minutes of the man's career, 30 minutes of a resume, 30 minutes of a lifetime full of experiences here and 8 years in the NFL that you're going to judge him by. No, it's about a hell of a lot more than that. He had an out too. Andy Reid gave him the out. You know, having said, no, I did that, and, you know, the bad ones were mine, the good ones were Matt, etc., and people in Kansas City genuinely being unsure about who was calling what, as they usually are in an Andy Reid offense.
Correct. That is an Andy Reid trait that he just showed you right there. His defense could have 6 penalties, and someone will ask him about it after the game, and he'll be like, that's on me. And everyone's like, well, that doesn't make any sense because you didn't jump off sides and you don't coach the defense. And he's like, but it starts with me. It's me.
So he takes it.
He takes it.
He owns it. He wears it.
All the time.
So does everybody in the tree do it? Probably.
Yeah. And most coaches do it. Most coaches do it. Like, what coach do you know that's just like, you know what I do? I like to throw my players under the bus. Like, most of them don't do it. So what he's doing there is showing accountability. Now, is it admirable? Of course. Did he do it with a certain flair
the appearance of honesty, the appearance of a willingness to look himself
right
in the face and say my fault,
right? But the bar is so low for football coaches that even the appearance of honesty is like, wow, that was refreshing honesty, when we know that Andy Reid was involved in the play calling because he's always involved in the play calling, and the camera showed him being involved in the play calling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So he wouldn't be throwing players under the bus. He'd be saying, well, you know, it was collaborative. I did a lot of it, but he just decided to go right for the throat and just take 100% of it.
Exactly right.
Which is a sensible thing as a leader. It's a smart thing as a leader.
That's exactly right. It's a leadership trait that a lot of coaches show. Like, I will fall on the sword publicly. And then in our film room, in our meetings, that's when you guys all get called out. Belichick does the same thing. Mm. It was just in that Seth Wickersham piece about how Brady was finally getting a little, you know, chaff that he wasn't ever named Player of the Week.
Patriot of the Week.
Yeah, and that he gets called out really hard in these meetings. But Belichick's never done that publicly. He doesn't call out Tom Brady publicly, but he does it in the meetings to make a point that, yeah, I can come at the special teamer hard because I can come at Tom Brady hard. That's coaching. That's leadership.
Right, yeah. I mean, and that's what he's establishing with those that are underneath him. This was a moment when he could have used somebody that was above him and tried to distance himself a little bit. But he's not going to do that because he loves Andy Reid, and Andy Reid's the mentor. But he's trying to establish the future moving forward. He's trying to establish the culture. He actually defined the culture he was asked to. He's like, that means trust. It means trust. It means being able to talk to each other about everything.
And we were talking earlier about how part of it, and it's not what you should only be doing, but part of it is just comparing it to what you just had in John Fox. Mm-hmm. John Fox is actually one of the coaches that I don't know would have done it that way. And so I think that's why it was so refreshing here.
Well, yeah, Fox would have, he wouldn't have bus tossed, but he would have said, well, you know, everything's a collaborative effort. And
collaborative effort, got to look at the film, you know, it's we're going to look into that.
Right, or if somebody brought pressure, they brought pressure on defense, they blitzed 4 guys and left the back open on a big play, was that you called that, or was that Fangio? Well, you know, it's collaborative. And
yeah, we got to look at that, we're reviewing it, collective failure.
So not everybody would have said it, because some people believe that saying nothing and leaving it nice and vague is better.
Absolutely right.
So I don't think there's anybody maybe who would have said, oh yeah, no, that was Andy.
My point is, like when you were saying earlier, you know, don't just look back and compare it to Fox. I'm saying that answer played really well here because of comparing it to John Fox. Yeah, whereas if you would have played that answer in other places where guys are normally known for taking full accountability of it, they would be like, oh, of course, that's just what a football coach sounds like.
Right.
It's just not what our football coaches have sounded
like. We haven't really had a football coach like this. We'll talk about it later in a different way. But yes, no, we just haven't had that guy. Haven't had that guy. And now we'll see. A bunch of texts coming in. We will save and get back to on a wide array of topics. And even though Tom Patriot has never won Patriot of the Week or hasn't lately and he's upset, Jay Zawoski has won Producer of the Year. Congratulations to Jay as we are 45 minutes away from Larry Wisdom.
Well, he's not on yet. He still might bail out on us. Let's not jinx it.
We're building it up to tear it down. We have Mike Florio next on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.